Good morning. What a delight it is to see you. I am Jonathan New, and I am the interim pastor of this congregation. I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and pray that our time together in worship this day may give us all some needed rest for our souls. It's a delight to welcome those of you who are in attendance today. What an unusual occurrence to be back in in-person worship again. I see a couple of woo-hoos going on there. That's great. It has been, yes, 16 months since we were in person, in worship together. That's a long time, and this is going to be only my second Sunday with you actually in person. You may remember that the first Sunday I started here was the week before pandemic lockdown. So I'm so very, very glad to be with you in this special way again. That said, I also want to extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us this morning by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Regardless of how we worship together on this day, we can all rest in the knowledge of the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we have some announcements for you this morning, and in fact, there's going to be a lot of announcements this morning about worship because so many things about it, small ways and some bigger ways, have changed. So I want to let you know about those things, but before I do that, I want to thank our worship leaders, as usual, our liturgists, our greeters, our ushers, our other worship leaders, of course, Tom Foster and his wonderful music this morning he'll be sharing with us. I want to thank Randy Brewer for the technical expertise that's making the AV and digital worship for this service possible. And of course, we always thank Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our worship. And special thanks this week to some behind-the-scenes people, Sarah Lynn Keller and Hank Zaretter, who are both on a well-earned vacation separately. They have provided invaluable service in terms of getting us prepared for returning to worship. So we remember them on this day and hope that they are enjoying some good Sabbath time away. So I also want to let you know a few things about this worship service. One of the big changes that those of you who are used to in-person worship in this space are seeing now are these two monitors here. And in fact, there's another at the rear of the sanctuary that we have as well. And so those are new additions for us. What I want you to know is that the folks at home who are viewing this worship by live streaming or recorded worship are seeing the same thing that you are on the screen. So you'll find most of what's printed in your bulletin there. This isn't necessarily meant to be a substitute for the physical bulletins that you have or an online bulletin that you might have received, but it is a way to keep us moving along, and in particular to share some images, which we have grown accustomed to during this time. One of the specific things you need to know about this is that when you see the portions that are in yellow type, that's where you come in, all right? So in other words, we'll have a responsive call to celebration a little bit later that Carolyn's going to lead, and she'll read the part in white. You'll read the part in yellow. Everybody got that? Yellow. All right. So there's that. Also, you'll notice that the hymns are on the monitors and on the online worship bulletin in yellow. We're encouraging you that at this point not to sing but to hum. Now, I know this is a hard thing for most of us. Humming is actually more difficult for me, and I think for many people. But this is a temporary thing that we're going to be doing during this time of transitional worship. Also, as usual, we'll have a time of lighting the Christ candle. So I want to invite our worshipers who are joining us by live stream worship to continue to light their worship candles as I light the Christ candle. And so we invite you to do that just following the announcements. Another big change for us is the passing of the peace. Normally, we would get up, we would move around, we would shake hands, sometimes hug, and otherwise mingle. For the time being, we're not going to do that. So what I'm going to ask you to do is that remaining physically distant yet extend the peace of Christ to one another during that time. I'm going to give you some time to do that, probably not the usual amount of time that we have. You will also notice, if you brought a physical offering to give today, that there was an offering plate at the rear of the sanctuary. If for some reason you have an offering that you want to give today and you somehow that escaped your notice, that's okay. The offering plates will be here at the communion table, on this side of the communion table, at the end of the worship, and if you'd like to, you may place them there, and we will make sure that they are taken care of properly. It is also possible for you to use the QR code that's in your bulletin to make an online contribution through our church's secure giving portal. On our website, that can also happen by those of you who are at home by visiting our website at firstchurchnatick.org. Another little change, or maybe a big change for us, is the time of morning prayer, and specifically the sharing of prayer requests. For this Sunday, I've had people email me in advance prayer requests that they might have. As we would normally have people stand, and we might pass a microphone or have them come to one of the standing microphones to lift up celebrations and concerns. For this Sunday, we're not going to do that, but I want you to know that as we go forward, we will continue to refine that specific element of worship because we know how important it is to you to lift up those celebrations and concerns. So please stay tuned. Finally, about post-worship fellowship. This is one of the biggest changes for us because we've been doing this online for so long. So in-person post-worship fellowship is going to happen outside, weather permitting. Given what's happening with the weather today, I am frankly not sure what's going to happen out there. So we will see. We are going to encourage you not to linger in the sanctuary. We're not going to move you out, but we would encourage you to not linger in the sanctuary. For the present moment, we will not be offering a virtual online post-worship fellowship time. So for those of you who are joining our worship today, that will not be happening today. But I want you to know, and the rest of you to know, that we're considering some possibilities for how we can bring the in-person folks and those folks who are joining us digitally in worship together in some way post-worship. Finally, in terms of our worship, I just want to lift up this church's covenant for the worshiping community. This is a covenant that we'll be using during this transitional time, and I want you to know that it's likely going to change over time because some of our requirements and encouragements are going to change for those of you who are in person in worship. So some of our usual norms and practices are the same, and some of them are different, and our covenant for our worshiping community helps us to be aware of some of those key things. So I'd like to share it with you now. So during this transitional time of returning to in-person worship, we, the worshiping community of First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, covenant with God and one another to care for and love one another in ways that are new and different for us. Encourage all people for whom it is possible to be vaccinated. Stay home from in-person worship if we're feeling ill, if we've tested positive for COVID-19, or if we have been exposed to someone who has been tested positive. Care for and love one another in ways that are new and different for us. Stay home from in-person worship if we're feeling ill. Wear a mask covering our mouths and noses throughout the entire worship service. You'll notice I'm not doing that. During the times when I'm speaking, I'll not have a mask on. I'll put it back on in the times that that I'm not. And you will remind me if I've forgotten that, I'm sure. Sit physically distant from one another as individuals or households or pod groupings. Seek to be close by the Spirit, opening our hearts to one another. And of course, honor all worshipers, whether they be physically present in the worship sanctuary or participating through digital means. In all things related to this transitional time, extend grace to one another and to ourselves, thereby nurturing the body of Christ. We look forward to modifying this covenant as we go along. And so we come now to a time of lighting the Christ candle together. As I light this candle now, representing the living Christ in our midst, I invite those of you who are at home worshiping to light your own candles and encourage us all to remember that our worshiping community goes far beyond these walls and is bound together by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Holy God, forever brooding over your creation, come and watch over us. God of changing events and surprising turns, come and journey with us. God of inner depths and majestic heights, speak to us again. We root ourselves firmly in the here and now, that our spirits might better rise to meet you. Still, small voice in eternal mystery, we are here to meet you. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of love, our silence is noisy, our minds filled with distracting chatter, our thoughts focused on problems. How hard we find it to be still and rest in your holy and healing presence. And how hard we make it by driving ourselves to frenzy and fatigue. God of love, usher us into your presence. Teach us the words to pray and the silences to keep. Refashion our days and hours so we may always walk in constant thanksgiving of your amazing grace. Amen.
So again, remaining physically distant, I yet want you to do something that you may think right now is crazy, but that is to extend your warmth and welcome to one another as we share in the peace of Christ. And as I get more comfortable with putting this mask on and off. Thank you. So I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, maybe reaching our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing our peace with others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." May our gifts today be given in gratitude from hearts that are deeply, deeply merciful. Let us pray. Eternal God, we dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of the life love, and peace that we have been given by you. Receive these gifts and lead us to use our time and talents wisely to praise and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Psalms and the Gospel of Mark, beginning in Psalms 90, verses 1 through 12. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that day that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And continuing in verses 53 through 56, when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Here end the readings for today.
Well, this is a strange and a welcome experience for me. Preaching once again in this sanctuary in front of a congregation that I can actually see. It's an amazing thing. The last time was, wait for it, March 8th, 2020, right? That was quite a long time ago. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if at least some of you here today aren't sure who I actually am. I've been joking that I might need to put a frame around me in order to indicate who I might be. In fact, I know at least one parishioner who certainly doesn't recognize me if I'm not behind a Zoom screen. That person's in this audience, and I'm not going to mention his name, Jeff Clausen. That is how long we have been doing desktop worship, as I call it. It's going to take some getting used to. For you and for me, it might be a little disorienting. It's sure to be clunky. For example, we are still committed to our digital worshipers, and so that means we are still committed to our one-hour worship limit. But with all the changes, small and large, that we have made in our worship to make hybrid worship work, I am a bit unsure about timing. In fact, I happen to know that this clock is, Tom, I think you told me it's 5 minutes fast. Is that correct?
Slow.
5 minutes. Oh, slow. Wow. Now we're in trouble. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to be working on timing, especially for this sermon. I think I better press on. I am reminded, as I think about time, of the church, notorious for its long-winded preacher. One Sunday, a girl brought a friend to worship who had little experience with church herself, and so she whispered a lot during the service. When the minister had a broad gesture, breaking the bread, the little girl looked to her friend and said, what does that mean? So the girl told her. And then the minister was there pouring the wine out elaborately, and the friend asked, well, what does that mean? And the friend told her. And so it went until the moment in the sermon, in the service for the sermon, and the minister made a grand show of taking off the watch and laying it right here, kind of like I did with my phone a couple of minutes ago. And so again, the little girl turns to her friend and says, whispers, what does that mean? And her friend says to her, I'll tell you what that means. And with a scowl on her face, rolling her eyes, she says, not a darn thing. So here's the thing. When I first began preaching back in Vermont, I just had to get all of my great ideas into every single sermon. Fortunately, after one such epic length sermon, I had an old wise gentleman take me aside and tell me about the ideal sermon length. And he said, if the preacher can't say it in 15 minutes, then it probably wasn't worth saying, and besides, I'll be asleep by then. To which his friend, kind of peering over his shoulder, an old dairy farmer from Vermont, says, yep, you don't need to dump the whole load all at once. So to honor them, I'm going to pledge that I'm not going to speak any more than 14 minutes, 59 seconds, and so I will, again, press on. Last week, I spoke about making peace with time, somehow. But juggling physical and emotional and relational material needs, there can be little time left, I think, for the spiritual needs that might keep all of these things in balance. There seems never to be enough time, but the question is, enough time for what? God, who worked only 6 days out of seven, we're told, says that there is always enough time for desiderata, things of crucial importance, crucial significance, essential value, lasting worth. Poet Max Ehrman reminds us of this in that classic poem, Desiderata, go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. So the same message is found, I think, in the Psalms, and also in Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, we find in Exodus. Sabbath literally means to rest or to cease. Later in Exodus, we read, whoever profanes the Sabbath will be put to death. You know, I've always felt this kind of sounded extreme to me. Extreme that a command to rest would have to be enforced with a threat of capital punishment, right? It seems kind of odd to me. But consider this. Author Judith Werk, in her book, A Circle of Stones, Woman's Journey to Herself, discusses how some women actually feel relieved when they receive a cancer diagnosis. They do that because for the first time in their lives, they can get the rest that they feel like they actually need. Not feel guilty about it. So I've often thought this is a telling comment on the state of modern life that such things would be true. Sabbath is a holy call to rest. Jesus practiced it. Jesus proclaimed it. In today's scripture, we hear that once when the disciples and he were so busy that they didn't even have leisure to eat, Jesus said, "Come with me. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So for Jesus, rest is essential. A runner friend of mine has told me that after a marathon, it is natural to feel that after the muscle soreness goes away, that you're perfectly restored and you're ready to go, all recovered. But then she reminded me that microscopic tears in muscles can take up to 6 weeks to heal. It takes time to balance the fluids and hormones after the demands of running 26.2 miles. And without proper rest, runners risk other kind of damage, like joint damage. But taking time off can be difficult for runners and for us if you're not a runner. And yet Sabbath is about soul care as much as it is about rest for our bodies. We need to rest, but rest doesn't make the Sabbath holy. So I would have you think about a chalkboard that is full of things. To write something new on it, what do we have to do? Well, we have to erase it. We have to wipe it off. And it's in the clearing away of that psychic debris of the day, I think. The thoughts and worries and emotions that Sabbath rest can restore our souls, allowing us to be engaged in new pursuits and refreshed ways. A house cleaning of the mind, maybe, that creates room for the divine source of our life to take up residence within us. Behind this Hebrew word, Sabbath, was the Babylonian observance of Sabbatu, the day of quieting the heart. As Meister Eckhart has written, "People must be so empty of all works that they can become a proper home for God, wherein God can operate." And so it seems that Sabbath requires, well, a certain kind of time management. Psalm 90 says, "So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart." Or put another way, wisdom depends on our awareness that life is brief and therefore precious. And note this, the psalmist doesn't say, "Teach us to stay on task and get the job done faster," right? That's not what the psalmist says. Yes, we are told to make the most of our time. But the psalmist's deeper insights, I think, is that how we manage the gift of time is crucial to wise, though not necessarily productive, lives. I'm reminded of years ago vacationing with my then young family at Mount Desert Island in Maine. We took the mail boat to Little Cranberry Isle, population 200. It is, if you've ever been there, you know it's a funky little place, home to longtime locals and romantic retirees that are seeking solitude and creative types as well, inspired by the sea. It's also home to Ashley Bryan. And if you don't know Ashley Bryan, you should get to know him. Author, multiple winner of Coretta Scott King Awards for Illustration, beloved by children and parents alike for his joyous poetry and brilliant illustrations, spirited retellings of African folktales. He He's a busy, busy person, been busy for a long time, who has created over 30 children's books and a memoir that he published just last year. This past week, Ashley Bryan turned 98. He is also a very welcoming man. Though busy with commissioned paintings and a new picture book, at the time when we visited him, he dropped everything to play host to us for a couple of hours, as he does for just about anybody who calls. He loves visitors. He joyfully showed us his handmade toys that he's gathered from all around the world, the puppets that he's made himself, and paintings and illustrations that were in various stages of completion. And then he sat us all down to tea and cookies. But I wondered, as I sat there at this table, how he managed to get anything done, let alone all that he gets done. And so I asked him, smiling. He said, well, time is big on the island. Time is big on the island. Time is big? I asked, not being an islander myself. He explained that he is always happy to have people come by because, as he says, all of you are part of my work. Elaborating on this in an interview, he explained what he calls his secret and just why people can't take his time up. Time is of the moment, and the moment is all I have, he says. If that moment isn't precious to me, then I'm not living. Nothing is more important or precious to me right now than both of us talking. He was saying, I think, that we were adding to and not distracting from his work or his life. More than anyone that I have met, he seems to live in the moment, not worrying about what's next, seeing each moment as equally important as part of a larger lifelong habit. Ashley Bryan has what Donna Skopper has called Sabbath sense. Sabbath sense, the capacity to make spacious what is cramped. So this is not just about Sunday mornings, though I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy those of you who have joined us by live stream worship are with us today. Keep doing that, okay? But this isn't just about Sunday morning. Sabbath sense means keeping thoughts of the later from invading the now. Visiting Ashley Bryan, I rested in the company of someone at ease in the moments who respects the sacredness of now. The only time, after all, that we actually have to live. And maybe, just maybe, it's one of the reasons why Ashley Bryan is today 98 years young. I recall on another family trip urging my then 10-year-old daughter, Sarah, to hurry up, saying that there wasn't time for her to blow the dandelions. And with a, you know, withering scowl on her little 10-year-old face, she said exasperatedly, Daddy, then what is time for? We each have to answer that question for ourselves, I think. But we may be sure that Sabbath is nothing if it isn't time spent trying to remember what time is for. May we discover ways to claim Sabbath moments, remembering and numbering our days and our hours and our minutes, not with anxiety about getting things done, but the knowledge that each moment is God's gift. Living with the understanding of life as a gift by grace, we can experience time as big and feel, at least from time to time, the joy of spending our time wisely and well. May our loving God make it so. Now, how did I do? I got to check the time. Yikes! Just made it. Did I make it, actually? All right. Good. I think I made it. So we come to a time now of, I think this is a central moment of Sabbath within our Sabbath day service. This is a moment when we choose to spend time with each other and with our God, choose to spend time with the Spirit of the living God in our midst, to recognize it, to honor it. And I know this will be different in some ways than what we have done in the past, and I look forward to how we can make this a more participatory aspect of our worship soon. And yet, as we gather and worship this day, I would lift up all of those prayer concerns and celebrations that are already there in your bulletin listed. We've got many, many there, and I invite you over the course of the week to spend some time with that list. I would keep in our prayer specifically today those persons who, for one reason or another, want to be here today and can't be here today in person, so we're going to lift them up. And also, we continue to be in prayer for our community, for our commonwealth, for our nation, for the world, as coronavirus continues in different forms and different places, and as we are forced to continue to be responsive to the what is about this pandemic. I would invite us now to be in a time of opening ourselves to the Spirit of God and of seeking to find in this time a holy moment. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for the time you have given to us and for the possibility of our soul's rest. Work in us to teach us to live in the wise way of Sabbath, to cease for a time our endless striving and distractions, and so focus upon you that we may truly find ourselves, to take each moment as precious, in particular as a holy time of being with others, knowing that the choices that we make about how we live our time may mean that we can be agents of care and love and welcome and inclusion and peace and understanding for those we hold dear, but also for the stranger who we encounter. For a world in need of healing. We take a moment now in silence to lift up in our hearts the names of those who are special to us and who we know are in need, or with whom we are celebrating mightily this day for some good thing in their lives. We pause now. Loving God, give us joy in the living of our precious days, especially as we share them with others, and in the quiet times we find or somehow manufacture, may we know your Spirit, hearing the still small voice that will affirm and encourage and sometimes allay the fears that we carry. We pray these things as everything. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Received to those around us as we work and we serve.